Okay, 2 Samuel, we get one oddity this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 21, and everybody won't even get this one. 2 Samuel chapter 21, just odd little things you see, you know, and you, when you grow up watching movies and all this kind of junk, you see things pop up in the Bible. For example, in chapter 21, verse 20, I think we probably said this years ago, but it's interesting, I guess, in some ways. There was yet a battle in Gath where there was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers. You know the six-fingered man? Anybody know that movie? Six-fingered man? Looking for the six-fingered guy? Everybody does. Yeah, everybody does. Anyway, other than that, it's a biblical theme. And he was a bad guy, and he's a bad guy here, so whatever. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. No, let's not go to 1 Chronicles. That's 1 Corinthians. Well, let's save a few minutes here. Let's go here to 2 Samuel. We are going to still stay with David a little bit. We could spend all summer studying David, which we won't, but we could. And today we're going to look at his music, see what the Bible says about music when it comes to Old Testament example. And David is the one that has the example to look at. I would rather use the word ensample than example, because if we try to follow our pattern after David, we will be not pleasing God with our music. And you'll see as we go here what I mean by that. Now, Corinthians, Paul does say, now all these things happen unto them for ensample. So all this stuff in the Old Testament is an ensample. We can learn from David, but we don't want to follow David as our example. We look at David just a little bit. His life was, you know, he's quite a guy. He's quite a king and loved and everything like that, but he was a very bloody person. In verse 8, God says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying that thou hast shed blood abundantly, and thou hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. You know, when people say to you, well, boy, how could God be such a bloody God in the Old Testament days? Well, you know, lots of reasons. He was holy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the physical kingdom and all that. But not many people realize that David did pay for the crummy stuff that he did in his life. And that was where Solomon gets to build the temple, not him. Although David had the plans, he knew what it should be, he had it all designed, and he loved the Lord, and his life, as rough as it was. Look at 1 Samuel 16. So we can relate to David quite a bit in the fact that we are equally spiritually bloody in many ways. We really abuse our Christianity and our grace. We go out, we play in the world, and we enjoy being out in the world far more than we ought to. But 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, last half of the verse, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So from this day forward, I mean, he had the Spirit of God on him, and he threw it all. And that's a puzzle to us. Well, let's not make it a puzzle. Let's not worry about it. Let's just look at the fact of it, which is why David was able to get what he got done. Even amongst his crummy stuff, the Spirit of the Lord did not depart from David as it did other people. Who knows why, other than that's God, the way of doing things, and that's what happened there. So, as a person, we can relate to David quite a bit, really. I didn't write down the verse that it was, but he was called the sweet psalmist. Anybody know that verse? Sweet psalmist of Israel. We talked about that. Anybody know that? Anyway, that was how he is referred to. And looking at his music today, knowing David, all that he had done and all his life was, and yet he still kept turning back to the Lord, and the Lord is always there for him. So David was quite strong with being very thankful. He was very thankful over that stuff. What was that?
The 23 verse 1.
Okay, I knew it was a verse 1. I get a 5,000 chapters to go through.
2 Samuel
23, 1. This week, Psalmist of Israel. So knowing David better than like we do now, or at least I know him better than I did before, I understand why he was so thankful. But he didn't get to build the temple. Yeah, but look at all that the Lord did for him. Look at all the Lord did not do to him. That in itself is worth being thankful. So David comes up with all these psalms. And these psalms in the Bible are not all by him, by the way. Psalms 1 through 50. are addressed to him. Psalm 73 to 83 are addressed to him. Now, there's a bunch of other anonymous ones, which they say sounds an awful lot like David, and that's fine. But he had 30 times in the book of Psalms the word thankfulness is mentioned. 30 times is pretty good. Very thankful man. Praises is in there 130 times. Rejoice is in there 54 times. Now, if you're interested, I'll give you the copies of all the verses of the ones where he says thanks and rejoice in and sing praises to or whatever. I'll give you those verses. Because I really encourage you to... Here's this guy that we know more about and all the things that he did. And some of those are really weird things. You know, I mean, they're some strange, bloody things in there. And yet we see that he was still close to God through it all. And if you were to sit down and just read his thankfulness verses and his praise the Lord verses and his rejoicing verses, but with nothing else other than you letting him put his words in your mouth on how to praise the Lord, thank the Lord, and rejoice, it's really quite, I hate to use this word, but it's really quite an experience. Better word, I can't think of a better word, but to sit down and do that. You think about yourself. You realize some things that you wish you could have done as you get older and you didn't, or things that you did that you shouldn't have, kind of a thing. And you realize what the Lord has done for you and how he's still in you and still that is all these things that you've learned, you can really appreciate when David talks about being thankful. And, you know, I mean, you want to put things in your own words, obviously, but it sure does do something for you to read how David wrote these thanks and praises and rejoicings, and it just helps your wording better to the Lord yourself. And if anybody wants those things, I'll be glad to give you a set. There's not that many. It's just really quite a thing. So now, or if you have a concordance on your own computer at home, sit down sometime and type up the word. This is just in Psalms. Thankful or thankfulness, whatever. Thanks, praise, praises, rejoice. And then sing, he also mentioned sing of some form or another 56 times in Psalms. Let's look at Psalms, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. So this morning, boy, I feel like I'm cheating you by not reading all those thankful verses and praise verses and rejoice verses to you. And I'd like to think that you would be interested enough to know that when you tell the Lord thanks, you really do a lousy job. Do you? I mean, in our lingo today, well, thank you, Lord, thank, you know, for, I'm thankful for, you know, thank you, kind of a thing or whatever. You can really upgrade your language to God by reading how David wrote his thanks. And so you really could. It wouldn't hurt us at all. It would not hurt your children at all to hear that stuff, to hear those things a lot. We just got to somehow put those things in our mind and somehow up jump our vocabulary just a bit. So there's an encouragement assignment if anybody's interested. We're looking at 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I know people get kind of bored with verse after verse after verse, but that's a shame to us to think that we would. So I encourage you to do that on your own. Maybe it would be more to you if you were doing it on your own. So Psalm 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50. Here we go. Let me get into this thing here a little bit here. And this is where he says, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Now, what's happening, remember, we're looking to David now for music, for an ensample, not our example. We cannot follow what David did as our example. You'll see why, but we can follow him as our end sample, and his example here is to say that he's saying his thanks among the heathen. And what people are doing today, Christians are doing today, they are taking those thanks and they're applying it to the music of the heathen, the Christian music people. That really disturbs me. From a musical standpoint, because I'm aware pretty much of music in lots of ways, but beyond that, to know that God, all that he has done in the Savior, even through Paul, etc., in this Bible, which we'll talk about today, that our thanks to him would have to be done through the world's music. See, to me, that's a slap in his face. That's really a slap in his face. And I know what some people listen to. And I know the front they put on. But you know, you don't put that front on with God. He knows what you're listening to. He knows what you're at. He knows where you're at with your music. And music is all about praising the Lord. And why would we have to, why would we try to learn to praise the Lord with the heathen's music? That's a question I would have to ask a lot of people. Then he says here, I will sing praises unto thy name. And when you pop this stuff into the music style today, which is, but the biggest thing is a heavy beat, the rhythm to it, you're throwing that right in his face. I don't know why you would do that. You can say, I like this music. Okay, then at least you're admitting the fact that you're not doing it for him, you're doing it for you, and that's your flesh, and that's far more understandable than it is to praise the Lord with music that appeals to your flesh and does not, you know, appeal to him as such. That's really just kind of thrown at his face and say, here, this is what I like, take it or leave it. And that's a real bad attitude to have towards God and towards your praises and towards your music. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 16. So he wants to sing, give thanks among the heathen, sing praises unto his name, unto thy name. So let's look at some music examples, end samples or whatever, that takes place in the Old Testament, and most of it's all with David and his little time zone. So look into 1 Samuel chapter 16, and this is the story that we're pretty much aware of around here anyway, Saul and David. Saul did not have the Spirit of the Lord. He departed from Saul, and as a result, he was messed up. He was having a hard time physically. He was having a hard time spiritually. He was having a hard time mentally. So they get a hold of this David guy. Now look at verse 16. It says he is a cunning player. And I know we know this, but how many people out there don't know quite what that means by cunning player? Look at verse 18. Was a cunning player on a harp in verse 16. 18 is the one that says, well, I'm having a hard time concentrating this morning about things I know that are going on. It's really, really kind of a get it together, the old guy. Okay, 18, he talks about cunning in playing, and he's a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Doesn't sound like a musician today. And I can say that because being a musician, you know, you don't find many musicians out there carrying a gun. And I don't mean because they carry a gun. I mean just that kind of a caliber person. They're, you know what I mean? I mean, there's some oddballs out there in the music world. I mean, some really, really oddballs. And we deal with it. Because what the musician thing, I mean, we deal with that stuff. We got a little oddities. You do anyway. I'm pretty normal. I read a thing one time on that melancholy person and this old nature study baloney that Christians really get into compared to everybody else, and we aren't the easiest guys to be around. You know, we like our little bubble, our little instruments, our music, but we just like to do that sort of a thing. Maybe a tornado destroying your town, but you're in there playing the guitar and I play a little Mozart, just have, oh wow, it's quite a storm, whatever. Anyway, so we see that Dave was a harpist, and he was cunning. Cunning, here's the definition of cunning. Knowing, skillful, experienced, well-instructed. See? He knows what to do with that music. And I'd have to say that the folks that are out there today in the world, as well as the Christians as such, are very cunning with their music, their skills. And you need to be able to do stuff with your instruments. There's no doubt about that. But I've said over and over that a musician can manipulate people. His or her music can just manipulate a person, just like it did with Saul, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Which is what David did with Saul. And so the modern Christian, if they have any biblical to them at all, they go to 1 Samuel 16 to show, well, look at this. This is what David did, and his music heal people spiritually, mentally, and physically. So if it worked for David, it'll work for me. So we have to get our kids to realize that that's not the purpose of music. Saul did not have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. We don't need music to do what Saul needed it for. Our music is to please God. That's just what it's there for. And if it doesn't, it seems like today people don't really care because they know what they like. That's all that matters. If they like it, it must be okay. So we can't go to David for our example, but we sure can look to him as an ensample because he wanted to praise God with his music. Now, so that's cunning. Very skillful, very experienced with his music. Well instructed. Knows what to do with his music. Now, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4, just for a trip away just for a little bit. We're looking at David, but now next week we're going to be getting into, if I remember correctly, if I think correctly here, we're going to be getting into Solomon as well, and his temple. Oh joy, all the details of the temple. We won't do that. But we see that David seemed to pass this stuff down to his kids in some manner here, because 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 says that Solomon had 1,005 songs that he wrote. 1,005. 3,000 Proverbs. Boy, you think these Proverbs are hard enough that we have 31 chapters? Can you imagine if you had 1,000, or maybe there's 1,031 chapters? Anybody ever count them? I guess. How many verses are in the book of Proverbs? Not 1,000, though. I don't think so. So Solomon was equally musical. You just don't hear anything about Solomon's music. It's all David we hear about. Let's go to Psalm. Well, yeah, there's that one. That is going to be the quickest Sunday school class when we do Song of Solomon. Anyway, I heard this. I hear the S sound. It'll be the S. Song of Solomon. Yeah, that's true. Let's look at Psalm 72. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we're all listed right there. 1,000. 3,000. 3,000 Proverbs. 1,000 songs. Okay, Psalm 72. There's the Solomon Psalm. Some of your Bibles might say a psalm for Solomon there. Solomon had two psalms. Psalm 72 and 127. 1 Chronicles 15 this morning again. Now we got to get into some scriptures if we run out of time here. Now let's get to moving here. To me, this is interesting, but I guess you'd have to be a musical type of a musician, whatever, there we go, to enjoy this. 1 Chronicles 15, and Jimmy, this is probably just you and me this morning, you're kind of plunking away there a little bit, and Olivia, you're kind of in the music, and kids with your recorders and stuff, and Patience trying to do the harp thing. my wife and Scott, you'd be a tuba player if we had a band, I'm sure. But when you read verse 16, yeah, the trumpet, oh, no, I'm fishing my hand. Ben Marcy on the trumpet there. See, we all got a little bit in us. But, and that's right, you and Jerry have a fight for the battle of number one, the non-musical. He was in. Yeah, but we know why. He told us why. That doesn't count. And verse 16, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint, very important in these days, to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, M-U-S-I-C-K hopefully, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And then you go down to verse 1 Chronicles 15, 16. So here we go, verse 17. Here's the names of these people. Now, if I were to hand you my marching band roster from back in the Las Vegas days, and here's the guys in the front row, second row, third row, fourth row, fifth row, here's the names of the drummers, here's the cymbal players, it would kind of I like thing a lot. Who cares? But these are folks that their names are listed. So the Levites appoint. Here they are. Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren. Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Meriah, their brethren. Ethan, the son of Cushah, and with them their brethren of the second degree. It goes down. Look at verse 19. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, Ethan, were appointed to sound the cymbals of brass. And Zechariah and Azio and Shemaremoth and Jehiel and Uni and Uni and Eliab and Messiah and Benaiah with psalteries. And Mathila and Iphigenia and Mechania and Obed-Edom. I like Obed-Edom. He's an easy. I like Obed-Edom. And Jael and Isaiah with harps. And Chenaiah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. He was the teacher. He was the instructor. So they really got into this thing. 24, you've got Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat, Nathaniel, Amaziah, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eleazar and Marcy blow the trumpets before the Ark of God. And Obed-Edom, I just like his name, Obed-Edom, doorkeepers, okay. It just goes on, look at 27. And David was clothed with a robe. There's your robes. I'm so glad we don't have to do the robe thing. And all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and Chenaiah, the master of the song, with the singers. 28, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant with the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. So there you go. If you can just make a noise on that thing, you're all right. Someday I'd like to go down to the school. I said this years ago. I'd like to get a big pair of chunky cymbals, just these big jobbers. And when we're singing praises, and you just whack those things, there's something about, anybody ever done that? Anybody here ever just crashed a set of crash cymbals? It's just as fun as ringing the bell, you guys, kids. It's as fun as ringing the bell, if not more so, because you're in church. And that's what they're doing. So we look here and we see that these musicians were so important. Their names are listed. They were appointed to do that. That was their job. That's an amazing thing to me. Look at first. Okay, we did that one. Let's go to chapter 15. Look at verse 13. Go back to verse 13. Something that the musicians did in those days. Verse 14. So the priests and the Levites, which would be these musicians coming up there, sanctified themselves. So they had to be clean to be a musician for God in those days. Now I wonder how many Christians say they're into music are even saved. Really, because the music they're doing is not something that God would show them to have done. So it was a major big deal in those days. Now let's go to Psalm 33. Now that's it for David's musicians, that these are the guys, their names are listed in the Bible. You're one of the few groups of Christians who have been, where the musicians have been recognized within that Bible. And I didn't see Jimmy in there, I didn't see Mikhail, anything like that. But today we can still do this, Psalm 33. Now for you parents who have children who want to learn to do musical instruments or whatever, right now all of you do because they're being forced to play recorder. they're important for you kids. John and Amanda and Caitlin. Where's Caitlin? Right there. Caitlin, Danica, Zach someday when it comes to that point. I think it's Olivia already. And Shoney, if you kind of quit coming and going on an instrument here, and Danny on the guitar. Verse 3 says, play skillfully. Skillfully. You got to practice. That's okay. You got to play skillfully. You got to practice that thing. And if anybody here can get to the point where you're cunning with your instrument, then you got to know how to do it right. If you're just kind of playing because you have no clue what's going on, that may be something God overlooks as he does our sins anyway, but they're already covered. But still, we ought to play skillfully. Don't you tell your kids, if you're going to play this thing, practice this thing. Now, why should we do that? Why should we do that? Why should it be skillfully, John? Look at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. There's why, if you're going to play music, there's why you practice skillfully. You get this thing down. And it takes years and years and years to get it, kids. And most kids don't have it in them. And I'm not saying that in a slapping way necessarily. It's just, you know how busy adults are. We haven't got time to do the stuff that we want to do. And we don't have time to do the stuff that we really want to do really well. We just kind of, we're busy. Well, kids have got so much going on today, they can't even sit down and just work on something, because now in the back of their mind, all they got to do is put in the CD and it'll do it for them anyway, so what's the point? I can't do it. I remember one of the things about the John Philip Sousa, a video that I have about his life and how it mentioned that he walked on the sidewalk in those days, everybody had pianos. Everybody just played pianos everywhere because they didn't have records. Caleb, remember what a record is? I actually got to show somebody yesterday, a couple days, whenever that was, what a record was. Hey, Lewis, doesn't that just kind of, you know, weren't yours kind of round and waxy? Come on, did you have the gramophone or whatever when you were young? You were before radio? When was radio invented? Yeah, see? So, all these people today that are playing music in their little CDs and stuff and over the computers and stuff like that, and their little Walkman, no, that's an old thing too, MP3 players, where they can put thousands of songs in a little ear. iPods, U-Pods, I mean, it's just amazing what's going on here. None of those people have any clue what is going on to them, because these people are cunning with that music, and the devil is cunning with music, and he's just subliminally destroying America with music. It's amazing. Anyway. 1921. When were you born, Lewis? Well, see? Hadn't gotten the nick of the woods, though. 21, 27? 27, huh? Wow. 21. You're born in 27? Woo!
And I was born in 25.
Got him by two. We're going to do these last 2 years when he's gone. Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. These are just references that I've had in my Bible for years when I ran across. These musicians are listed. It's amazing. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. But I don't imagine, Jimmy, the cymbals in those days was a hi-hat. I don't think I can see Moses. Okay, right now, Aaron, you can take on there with his saxophone. The saxophone was there at the rock concert with Moses, you know. It's just crazy. We're done with rhythm. Rhythm is what really grieves the Spirit of God in us. Verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was, and there's a whole bunch of names again. Look at verse 6. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps for the service of the house of God according to the king's order, to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them were their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, and even all that were cunning, these were good, they were good at it, 248. Now, when you look at all the numbers in the Bible, that's not very many numbers. That's not a big number, but there's still a lot of people. These are musicians here that are cunning with their music. It's a lot of people. And then you go through this thing, and you see, let's go to 2 Chronicles 5:12. We'll go to that one. 2 Chronicles 5:12. There's probably more in the notes for you note folks out there in the web world, but 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Now these are not the three-valved silver things. These are the long kind of jobbers. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So God's pleased with this one sound, I bet you he really gets off on an arrangement. Don't you think, Jimmy? I mean, oh, now that is a nice arrangement of Amazing Grace. Boy, I like how that comes across. That is good. And I like that little extra descant part there. God doesn't, you know. He's looking at the musicians in our hearts, et cetera, et cetera. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, M-U-S-I-C-K, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. They don't talk like that in the music today. But anyway, the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. That's what took place physically, and for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Physical building, physical place, physical cloud, physical music, and the guys can do it. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? So it really had its effect, physically. Now, we're not in the physical kingdom, so that isn't going to happen. If there's any cloud in there, it certainly isn't going to be the glory of God coming into the church. But the musicians are really pumping today. I mean, they're in the churches. They're just going bonkers. Music is just the flow in the churches. How come? Because it's in their lives. It had to get in their lives before it got transferred into the church. And years ago, we would say, well, we're starting to see the pastors and their families getting into this new music. Pretty soon it'll be in the church. And it's in the church. So, knowing what this did in this physical manner ought to remind us what the right kind of music, the pleasing kind of music, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, kind of music does to the Spirit of God. That's in us. It's very important. And now, Spirit of God's in us, and the children aren't lost. They're already His at this point, so there's no law being imputed to them. But why would we want to pump their ears with crummy music? I know you keep your kids away from certain things. I know that you know someday they're going to have to be out in the world. I know you know that, right? So you know it's going to happen. But you don't just throw them to the snakes. No, you keep them for a while. Make them strong enough to handle the snakes when they get out there. But what is it with these movies and the television and the things that are being pumped into our ears of our kids is horrible. And how can you stop it? You can't go into an elevator. Well, we don't go into elevators anymore. So anywhere you go. I remember we would go to Freddy's or whatever that place was in New York, and they started to play music in the stores. And it was rare that they didn't play music in stores, right? Yeah, didn't have no background music, nothing. Just walked in there and he just talked. And if you were to go up to a clerk and you were to say some of the things that's coming across their music, their words, I'd like to think you'd get kicked out of the store. Maybe not anymore. They probably talk the same way. But it's terrible what our kids are hearing. So what do you want us to do about it? I don't know. They're your kids, not mine. But we are numbing their brain with this music that's going on. And the Spirit of God in us as adults is grieved with the music that we have to hear. Choose not to hear it when you can. I would say this, that if sometimes you don't get anything out of your Bible, I would say ask yourself, what have you been pumping in with your music? That'll quench what God's trying to show for you. If you got music going in with this crummy. Anyway, keep going on the music thing. So what we see here, and what I wanted you to see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12, let's go to Ezra, too. I'll show you this in Ezra. Ezra just a little bit further past that, not a whole long ways. Ezra chapter 2. And I know most people, they just think, oh, music, I don't understand music, so whatever. But boy, if in doubt, don't. Turn it off. What your teenagers are listening to behind your back or under the covers or in those little private little headphones, I'd almost guarantee it isn't something that they should be hearing. I just seen too many examples where it's not. Ezra chapter 2, verse 41. Just a quick little verse here. The singers, the children of Asaph, 128. I'll go to Nehemiah chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 44. Mentions it again. So what we see here is we see David and Solomon's musical family things kept going. And that's a neat thing. And I also see here, for today's, what do we have traveling around our country? We have families that are into music and they're singing music, and there's nothing wrong with what they do. It's the music that they're singing today that is really causing troubles in our churches. So there's families involved with music. Don't you all sit around? I mean, you got your guitar and your guitar and you got your what do you got?
Mandolin.
And mom's got the mandolin. I thought there was another one too. Lute. Didn't you do the lute? I have a
loop. I do.
It's one of those things she's bought that you don't know about. Those things happen. Yeah, loot for loot. Let's go to here, 2 Chronicles 35. So families are involved, and that's a good thing. I can just picture the Burks, Patience playing the harp, Nancy singing, and Jerry probably on drum set. No, Danica, that would not happen. Your dad, your grandpa would not do that. Where are we at? 2 Chronicles what? 35, verse 15. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, or Asaph, whatever, were in their place. They had a place to be. They were appointed and had a place to be. Now, let's look at 1 Chronicles 23:5. We'll wrap this thing up quickly here. That wasn't very much stuff. Well, that was a tremendous amount of stuff. There's more in the notes, like I said, but music has really, really played a major part with David and Solomon. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. You got a 50-50 chance to get in the right book, first or second. Oh, by the way, I like verse 3. I just noticed that. Now the Levites are numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. Oh. There's a 10-year period of growth there. Maturity. Is that right, Jimmy? And maturity of the musician, you know, kind of a thing. So, kids, you got 10 years to practice once it means something to you. Anyway. Verse 5. This is a big verse. Very important verse here. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord. That's a lot of people. With the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. So David's instruments he made to praise God. And what they were there for. Now, I know that I've heard people say, I have dedicated my instrument to please God, and that's an okay thing. You can't go so far as to say that you sanctified it. Nothing bad is ever going to come across that instrument, because it probably will. I mean, if nothing else, just the wrong note at the wrong time, and the thing's already polluted. But they're going to an Old Testament status of their music. But when he says here, these instruments which I made, said David, to praise. Now, let's go to Amos chapter 6. I think most of you folks here know where we're going to this thing, but we've got to do it for the record anyway. David said that his music, his instruments were to praise. Okay, Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6, verse 1, first of all. Woe to them that are eased in Zion. Then it goes through some little verses in there. Verse 4 is your couch Christian, couch potato Christian. They lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. There's the lazy Christian. But I want you to see verse 5. Woe to them that are eased in Zion, they got it made, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music. Comma, like David. So these are instruments of music that were made to praise God. Well, that comma wouldn't be there. And another reason I know that to be true, because the modern Bible versions, all the modern Bible versions change this verse. Now this is an Old Testament verse, and this is the Hebrew, so why get into this thing? Because they add things like, they take out the comma and they add the word did. That's the biggest lie I've seen. You put the word did in there, doesn't that verse change everything? Well, and these are people that are not pleasing God. Woe to them that are eased in Zion, that chant to the sound of the vow. Repetition is chant over and over, same old thing. And invent to themselves instruments of music like David did. Well, if David did it, so can we. And people will say today that the music appeals to them, that they like it. And they play it for themselves. And if they were any kind of a scriptural person, well, they could go to their modern Bible and say, well, David did it. No, David didn't do that. David did those instruments for God, not for himself. Now, let's go to Acts 17. We finish this up with music here. Acts chapter 17. what we have going on today are people with an unknown God out there. Some of you folks have friends that have no clue what it means to be a Christian. When they say, I am a Christian, I've seen recently some examples of somebody that says, I am a Christian, and I'll tell you what, people don't know what that means today. They just think it's just another fact. I've got two eyes, nose, and mouth, and I'm a Christian. That's just a title we have, because they sure aren't putting forth any kind of a Christian testimony whatsoever. And in this music thing, down here in verse 25, it talks about God that made the world in verse 24, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Oh, well, that sure flies in the face of the Old Testament. Yes, it does. We're not in the Old Testament days. Neither is worship with men's hands. So when we get involved in these modern churches today with our instruments and we're worshiping God with our worship team and our worship leader, that's not right. That is wrong. That is a fleshy thing that's taking place. And you go to Acts chapter 2, and you see that everybody's acting like the flesh is blessed of God. And it's not. And we know that. But we are seeing today music destroying the churches, and the churches are growing. Why? Why have we had, what's the one reason we've had three people come and visit and never stay for the whole service? Every one of those examples, they left before the sermon. They didn't like the music. They're looking for people, they're looking for churches that have the music that they like. And why do we like our music? I don't think everybody here likes our music. But it's the right kind of music. The music is based on the structure that pleased God in the early 1600s, and the words are true, and we find words where they're not true all the time. We're changing those things. We want to do it right. We don't want to just do it to please ourselves. We happen to enjoy them, so most of us do, but that's part of your rejoicing, because it helps you rejoice. That's why we sing the way we sing. That's why Japheth is into this kind of a thing, and over all these years, these hymns and things. The ham music was never into what we're doing here today. The Oriental, the Shemite music was never into what we're doing today. And what's going on in churches? They're getting rid of Bibles? Yes, they are. Are they getting rid of preaching? Yes, they are. What are they doing? They're bringing in Hamite and Shemite music and getting rid of Japheth. That's what's happening in our churches. So, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing what's taking place in music. It was a major big thing in David's time for God, and now today it's a major thing against God. And if you got the Spirit of God in you, whether you be a teenager, an adult, or whatever, I would just ask you to watch that music. God's not going to kill you for it, but it's going to quench the Spirit of God in your life if that music isn't such that pleases God. Anyway, there you go. 5 minutes late. Sorry. Take a couple of minutes, get a drink of water, bring down some more chocolate black poison, and we'll see you upstairs in a few minutes.